Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Bright is a leader in high-density extruders for your wet waste problems. Located in Hopkins, Michigan, USA, Bright has a solution to dewater your sludge. You can find them online at sebrightproducts.com. That's sebrightproducts.com. Or telephone 269-793-7183. That's 269-793-7183. Tell them you heard about them on Pulp and Paper Radio International.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 1st of April, 2013. The title is History Repeats Itself. We have talked a lot about the subject of this week's column before. But let's start here. Suppose you went into a hospital or a doctor's office only to find the walls covered with medical profession artifacts from long ago. Would it make you comfortable to see an amputation saw from the 1860s hanging on the wall? How about a tobacco smoke enema apparatus? They had such things, you know. You notice dust balls the size of tumbleweeds in the corner. When called into the inner sanctum, the doctor greets you in a blood-stained lab coat, obviously worn for several days. If you dare stay, she finally writes some orders for you. You notice the name on the top of the order sheet is not the same one as the current practice marquee displays. You inquire about this, and she says, "Oh yeah, we changed our name 4 years ago, but haven't run out of the old forms yet." How do you feel about this doctor? Would you go back to this doctor or hospital? Then why in the HE double toothpicks, to quote Radar O'Reilly from MASH, do you tolerate such conditions in your mill? You are not, and this is a repeat part of the title, running a museum. You are supposed to be operating a state-of-the-art, highly efficient, highly controlled manufacturing process. Every employee comes to work in your facility, consciously or unconsciously, ready to mimic the culture of your mill. There are a few outliers, but most of you find ways to fire the non-compliant. Your employees mirror what they see. If conditions are sloppy and disorganized, your fellow employees think it is okay to be sloppy and disorganized. If you look like you just changed oil in your 57 Chevy lying on your back in a cow barn that hasn't been mucked out in 5 years, so will they. I can't prove it, but I strongly feel in the worst mills I have seen, with the attributes described here, it is costing them 3 to 5% in uptime. Not running a professionally looking and staffed mill costs you money. Now, if your mill happens to be housed in a 50-year or older build facility, do not be discouraged. I'm not suggesting pulling down buildings and putting up new ones. However, the contents of the buildings, including the people, have no excuse for not being shipshape. Attitude plays out in quality, uptime, maintenance, and expectations. A strong component of attitude is our surroundings. I know I've harped on this before. Yet every time I hear or see another struggling mill that should not be, i.e., that is, they are in great grades with good profit margins, it drives me crazy. Obviously, that happened again this week. The answers are right in front of you. Take little overtime and no capital. Look around. Are you working in a facility that meets the standards you would expect in a doctor's office? Why not? What are you going to do about them? For our quiz this week, we'll simply ask you if the medical profession image helps you visualize what you need to do. You may take it here. Here being on the Nip Impressions website. For safety this week, you can avoid some of the visits to the emergency room by doing what I suggest above. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Pardon the interruption, but if you are listening here, you obviously enjoy audio from Paparitalo Publications. Now you can get audio and more from Paparitalo Publications right on your smartphone. Download our app, found at http://wbxapp.com/paperitalo. That's http://wbxapp.com/paperitalo. Once again, I'll be real slow this time. wbxapp.com/paperitalo. Once you have bookmarked the site, You can get it into any of our publications, plus link to Pulp and Paper Radio International, the voice of the worldwide pulp and paper industry. And you can do a clever thing there. Once you click one of our audio offerings, either the Nip Impressions column or a P and PRI show, you can listen to it immediately and directly on your phone. What could be simpler than that? Now, thank you, and back to our program. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2013 Papari Tallow Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills. Tallow Analytic International and Papari Tallow Publications have an exciting new service for pulp and paper mill managers, operators, and department heads. Called Tallow Tech, it consists of many user groups focusing on each unit operations in pulp and paper mills. For instance, screens, press sections, recovery boilers, winders, and so forth. And the best news is, if you work for a mill, a university, or are a fully retired professional, you can join as many of these groups as you like for free. Where are they located? On LinkedIn. That is www.linkedin.com. How do you join? Just go to linkedin.com, put Tallow Tech, that's T-A-L-O-T-E-C-H, in the group search. Join one of the four master groups that are there. As soon as you're accepted as a member, you can join the subgroup or groups of your choice and start solving problems in your mill today. Any questions? Just email me, Jim Thompson at jthompson@taii.com, with Tallow Tech in the subject line. This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 8th of April, 2013. Subject, are we overly sensitive about confidentiality? I grew up in the tissue business. There, even 40-plus years ago, everything was absolutely confidential. You didn't talk to your competitors, you didn't visit your competitors, and you certainly did not let your competitors visit you. You didn't go to conferences. Things seem to have loosened up a tiny bit. After all, there are tissue conferences now, something not even dreamed of in the 1970s. Yet, in other grades, we have seen things seem to go the other way. 30 years ago, reciprocal visits were common in newsprint, printing and writing, linerboard, and other grades. Today, this has become tighter. But what are we getting for this? It struck me the other day when I was visiting with my grandson that maybe we are incurring costs but gaining little in our quest to be confidential. Now, let me stop and say I'm not talking about intellectual property that would be known as IP these days, such as formulas, software, and so forth. In fact, these items must be kept confidential, and in this day of computer hacking, this is no simple task. No, I am talking here about hardware, maintenance, and the like. What did my grandson have to do with this? Trains. He, thanks to yours truly, receives a great magazine, Railroad Model Craftsman, a publication 80 years old this year and still going strong. What struck me as I looked at this periodical is that the railroad industry, again from a hardware standpoint, has always operated in the open. In fact, it has no choice but to operate in the open. By its very nature, it is right out in front of us. Further, for the enthusiast, all civil and mechanical details are readily acceptable, right down to the serial numbering system used on the rolling stock, something one might think of as intellectual property. Now, to a certain extent, granted not as much as in the days gone by, the railroad industry is regulated industry, and as such, pricing is government controlled. Today, however, that has largely gone by the wayside, and the vibrant railroad industry is forced, again by its very nature, to operate in the open in front of all of us. Further, pity the poor railroad industry, which, due to grade crossings, even has a problem with safety involving the general public. I go into many mills, and I have my own confidentiality standards, which are higher than any mill in which I have been allowed to enter. That is to protect my own reputation, and by that I mean business. Ironically, even the most tightly controlled mills often do not feel obligated to treat my company's intellectual property as they expect me to treat theirs. I hasten to say, however, that they are not the worst. The professional associations seem to feel no pain when stealing ideas from members to turn into revenue for themselves. But I digress. The point is, are you being penny wise but pound foolish, to use an old American phrase? What should you do when you consider confidentiality? Is there a formal headquarters-driven policy on the subject? Was it created and vetted by professionals who understand the cost of security and weigh each issue on its own merits? Is it clearly delineated and explained to the employees throughout the company so they know its importance and ramifications if it fails? It is widely known that the largest leaks from mills are from some disreputable chemical and clothing technicians. They service several mills and, by the nature of their work, see all the gory details therein. Many of these companies hold their employees accountable and to high standards. Others are not so careful. This may be a source of important leaks when it comes to things that need to be contained. How would you rate the security in your mill? Is it a thoroughly thought-out process, or is it haphazard? Let us know by taking this week's quiz on Nip Impressions online. For safety this week, it is a mistake to be so secure in your policies that lives are endangered in times of a true emergency. Check the provisions of your mill and what it allows for first responders coming into the mill when seconds count. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2013 Papari Tallow Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Mike Ryan of Process Labs knows rotary kilns and re-causticizing. Process Labs services are in demand around the world. You can find them online at www.processlaboratories.com or call them at 1-740-775-5520. That's 1-740-775-5520. Tell them you heard about them on Pulp and Paper Radio International.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 15th of April, 2013. Subject: Do sports teach us to cheat as managers? It is well known that I am not a sports follower, so when I spend some time thinking about sports and their implications on society in a larger sense, it seems to me that perhaps I do so with clearer vision than the rabid fan. Further, it is even better known that all of our experiences in life have effect, sometimes small, sometimes large, on how we conduct our lives. A good friend, Jeff Reese of International Paper, shared some tickets with me this past weekend. Note, I paid him face value for them. They happened to be for the NCAA Final Four basketball series. For those of you outside the United States, this series of tournament games, held in March each year, is a major amateur sporting event for collegiate basketball. Jeff's tickets allowed us to see the final three games determine the champion Monday evening, the 8th of April. Garrison Keillor, a famous contemporary American storyteller, has spoken of basketball when he was a young man, that would be in the late 1940s and the 1950s. He talks of it as an elegant game, played with the tips of the fingers and the tips of the toes. The game, Mr. Keillor describes, no longer exists. Today's game is one of rough and tumble, gouging, jabbing, and so forth. But that is not the worst of it. Fouls, or touching the other player, have now been used for a long time as an offensive weapon. If your team is down a few points and the game is nearly over, you foul the other team to try to get an advantage. They, in turn, are allowed to shoot free throws or unencumbered baskets because you did that. The rules are schizophrenic on the subject of fouls. On the one hand, they are discouraged, for if a team or a player incurs too many of them, further penalties accrue, up to and including individual players being kicked out of the game. On the other hand, they are willingly used, as mentioned earlier, as a way to attack the other team offensively if one has no other options open. Other physical sports have moved in a similar direction. The National Football League is currently facing a massive lawsuit from former players over concussions, just to name one example. It has been alleged some teams in this sport paid players bounties for knocking opponents' players out of the game, or better yet, out of the plane the whole season. But don't get me wrong, I'm not against danger in sports. If there is one sport I like, it is auto racing, where the danger of serious or fatal injuries is real. However, auto racing does not have anything like the foul in basketball or headbanging in American football. And that is where the problem lies. Taking a condition, the foul, and using it as an offensive weapon sends a very wrong message to society. That message is this: if you can't make it in a legitimate way, in this case by making baskets, it's okay to cheat, up to a point, to gain an advantage. In my lifetime, I've seen this played out over and over again in business. Can't make it legitimately? Cheat. Additionally, we see this in society in general every day. If you are a manager, make it known you don't cheat, only if you don't, and you will not tolerate it for a minute. Is the sports link to daily behavior legitimate in your opinion? Please take our sample yes or no quiz here. And you know what I will say about safety. No cheating, no way, never. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2013 Papari Tallow Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Conmark Systems Incorporated is an Atlanta, Georgia-based company serving the pulp and paper industry. Our goal is to provide continuous improvement solutions to mill operations utilizing Six Sigma principles, programs, and solutions for variability reductions through application of distinct equipment and services. Conmark Systems Incorporated believes that providing our customers with top-of-the-line products is essential, but not enough. Therefore, we offer solution programs rather than individual products. Give us a call today at 770-300-0224 or visit our website at www.conmark.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 22nd of April, 2013. Title, Their Schedule, Not Yours. Did you ever have four or five things you needed to tell a subordinate or perhaps even a boss? How did you handle this? Dump them all on them to reduce your to-do list, or did you take another path? Effective managers understand being effective. Big surprise, eh? More importantly, being effective does not necessarily mean wiping your to-do list clean as fast as possible, especially when it comes to managing other people, that be superiors or subordinates. And yes, you can manage your superiors. Effective managers are equally proficient at managing their superiors as they are at managing their subordinates. Once you understand your superiors and subordinates, that is, what motivates and demotivates them, you are in control. Now you can really get things accomplished, as long as you don't let your drive to wipe items off your to-do list usurp your management expertise. Where to start? First, you need to recognize that giving more than two assignments to an individual at a time assures that none will be done in a satisfactory manner, and is likely that one or two will be missed completely. You may feel great about having them off your to-do list temporarily, but they will be back, for they will be done shoddily or not at all. It will take more work in the short term to manage in the manner described here, but in the long term, you'll have more time, for you will not be doing things over and over. And it takes skill. Your message, timing, and cadence need to be perfected to the level of a ballerina. Well, almost anyway. If you wake up one morning and suddenly have four tasks for a subordinate, feed them to them if you have a choice and are not being dictated by immediate business needs, from most unpleasant to most pleasant. But thinking about the timing also before you do anything. How long should you wait between tasks before assigning the next one? And of course, define what success means for each task and get buy-in for accomplishing that level of success at a date the subordinate agrees upon. Make them set the date, but then negotiate. For if you think the date is too close to do an effective job, move it out. If they have set a date that is the 12th of never, help them, but do not dictate that they move it to a more realistic goal. The key is they make the first move and you either bless or change. With your superiors, turn the order around. Give them the task, actually ask them to do the task, in the order of the most pleasant to the least pleasant for them. What you want to set up here is a condition whereby they feel like they owe you something by the time it comes to the nasty one. Timing and cadence are still as important as in the other case. It is only the order that changes. Yes, you're going to fumble first with this way of managing, but practice and you will get better, and you'll achieve much more than you ever thought possible in the past. In our quiz this week, we'll ask you to relate your thoughts on this topic over on the website. You can take it there. For safety this week, even in the throes of responding to an incident, there is a rank to the things that need to be done from first to last. Perhaps a good safety meeting topic? Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2013 Papari Tallow Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Do you need to maximize your mixing capabilities? Philadelphia Mixing Solutions mixer drives are specially designed to handle the rigors of mixing for the pulp and paper industry. With proven technologies for top entry and aeration, our total systems approach provides cost-effective solutions to maximize stock dispersion and degassing. For more information on our mixer and aeration products, contact us today at 717-832-2800 or philamixers.com.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 29th of April, 2013. The title is Earplugs. When we surveyed our audience a couple of weeks ago, asking them about their opinion of the behavior of sports talent on the day-to-day behavior of the average person, the response was large and overwhelming of the opinion that the behavior of such people, both on and off the field, is a very big influence. I think little things matter, too. I do not have a large cache of earplugs since I do not belong to any particular mill or operating site. It is customary that clients supply these, usually having a large supply handy at a place where one is about to enter a hearing protection area. I'll proudly tell you I am carrying around and regularly use a set of these that I picked up at a client's site about 27 months ago. Now, don't write me about the hygienic issues possible here. That's not the subject. Yes, they were a throwaway set, but they were slightly better than the usual ones. They came in their own plastic throwaway case. I like them. For a while, I kept them because it was handy to have them around. I could put them in their case inside the case that holds my prescription safety glasses. Nice to keep these things together. After a while, and I cannot tell you when, it became a matter of pride to hang on to the same pair to see how long I could make them last and not lose them. And as of this writing, I have been able to keep them, a bit of a mental agility exercise also, and preserve them in good condition. And they have made me frugal, the point of this week's column. For I believe strongly that it is our dealing with the little things that sets the tone for dealing with the big ones. Since I have been husbanding these earplugs, I have thrown away less copy paper that ran through the machine blank. Why not save it? I once knew a company in the Midwestern part of the United States whose specialty was earthmoving. The company had started in the 1930s and hit it big in the late 1950s when the U.S. interstate system was developed. Their location and experience garnered them huge earthmoving contracts for many years. They were very profitable. However, the owner and president's assistant remembered the old days. On her desk was an old-fashioned adding machine, the kind with a paper tape. This was the era just before personal computers. If you walked into their offices sitting in the middle of a 100-acre field crowded with earth-moving machinery, and I was told there was just as much out on the job sites, you would find the adding machine tape stringing out of her machine and onto the floor. Why? Because when she got done with one side of the tape, she rolled it back up and used the other side. She remembered when the company was not so well off. Today, when I walk from a parking lot into a mill, looking down, the ground is littered with discarded earplugs. I believe people who discard earplugs likely treat other assets, expendable or otherwise, with the same lack of appreciation of cost. Your cost control program may be as simple as starting with earplugs. What do you think? Let us know in our quiz online this week. Of course, for safety this week, there is only one thing to talk about: hearing protection. Enforce it, and your employees' grandchildren will thank you. Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2013 Papari Tallow Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA.